Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be on the ridge. You're too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I have the very special privilege of speaking with Dr. Virginia Crist, a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist in private practice in Boca Raton, Florida. She has lectured extensively with numerous guest appearances on radio and TV. Known for her research on romantic love, her background and training is impressive. After two master's degrees, Dr. Crist was identified as one of the top 15 counselors in the United States. Then she pursued a five-year doctoral program and attended Harvard Medical School through the Department of Psychiatry for additional training. Dr. Crist then received diplomat credentialing by the American Psychotherapy Association. So I am delighted to be speaking today with Dr. Virginia Crist. Welcome, Dr. Virginia.
Thank you so much, Dr. Goodstone. I'm very happy to be with you today.
So I would like to begin by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background, training, and experience that has led you to focus on romantic love and on healing that and working with that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, when I entered my five-year doctoral program, I was very excited, and I anticipated that being all about marriage and the family, we would have many courses on love, but we didn't have any. There wasn't going to be a word said about love in all of that 5 years of coursework, and I was very dismayed, and I asked my professors what, I don't understand, I was quite perplexed by that, and so they said, well, no, this is a scientific course of study. And so then at the end of that 5 years, I decided I'd need to do my dissertation on love because I thought it was imperative for marriages and families to be based on a premise of love. And so I did that, but much to the dismay of my professors, who gave me a very difficult time saying, well, no, it's not quantifiable. You can't measure love. And so I went to the libraries, and there was not one book there yet written on romantic love in all of the United States. And so I wrote the very first one. And so that led me to my life's work on helping couples have healthier love relationships.
Can I just add something in here that you might find interesting, that I did my dissertation on romantic love also. A long, long time ago. But my committee members insisted that I change it from romantic love to mature love.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, I think we're on the same wavelength then, because
then,
at least we are kindred spirits.
Absolutely. And also, there weren't enough really good tests to do a statistical study. So the statistics didn't work out right, but the concepts were really powerful.
Wonderful. Well, I congratulate you, and I thank you for your very valuable contributions to the field.
Thank you. So I have a question, and I know that you will have a perspective on this, that the divorce rate is so high. People get, and not only divorce, but couples, they get into relationships, they break up, and some of them get married, then they get break up, and sometimes they have three or four marriages. Why do you think the divorce rate is so high?
Oh, that is a good question. I believe that there are so many unfulfilled expectations, so many unrealistic expectations. When we enter a committed relationship, we have these dreams, and so many of them are broken. They end up becoming broken dreams. We have fairy tale fantasies of what it is, what we anticipate will be fulfilled, and it's usually visions of perfection in the marriage, and our partner always falls short of perfection, unfortunately, and I believe that's where the dismal breaking of the bond finally begins, where the unfulfilled expectations are. The divorce rate is up higher than it's ever been in the entire history of our society. And I believe we've truly let each other down, and we really don't know how to love one another in a healthy way is the second part of that. It's the other side of that, where we've really never learned how to love one another in a healthy way.
Well, when you talk about expectations, what happens, one of the things that happens, is that we choose someone who has certain personality traits, and that's what we love. But whatever goes along with those traits, there's another side to it that we don't like.
Right.
For example, if someone is a real social party animal, and we love that about them, then we get close to that person, and they're not just being with us, they're being this party animal all the time. That's their personality. And then it starts to bother us.
Right, because then they're social all the time with everyone, and then we begin to get annoyed later because they're not quietly with us enough.
And that's just for any trait that a person
mm-hmm,
has. They're going to also have the opposite.
Right. Another part of the divorce rate, for sure, is the state of our economy. That has truly played havoc on our relationships. It's created a great deal of stress among couples, regardless of SES, our socioeconomic status, causing friction, irritability, and irritability results in antagonism and arguments that have increased exponentially, both in frequency and intensity. And fighting about money matters is stressful because money matters. And
well, it's very true. But when I watch these celebrities, they show a couple that just met, and he's taking her on a special private jet to an island somewhere or to another country, and they have all these wonderful dinners. And it's easy to fall in love when everything's going so beautifully and you have so much money. And it's a lot harder when you're struggling and you can't go out for that dinner because you don't have enough money.
Right. And then there's a period when you have it, and then when you don't have it, it's a difficult adjustment to make. And our economy has created that scenario for too many couples, and it's become very stressful. Sex and lovemaking is the last area I would consider for that question, that must be maintained in a healthy, vital part of the marriage, or it's likely the problems in the marriage will manifest in the bedroom.
And that would be another
factor that would drive up the divorce rate.
Absolutely. And along with that, when there's a shortage of money, and particularly when a man loses his job and doesn't have work, it's hard for him to feel sensual and sexual. because
so
a lot of men really identify with their work, and they want to be the provider, even if they're both working.
Yes, I really do agree with you about that. He needs that for his self-esteem and, as you say, his sense of identity. Otherwise, he doesn't quite feel like the sexual animal that he did when he was on top of the world.
And it can be so difficult for the woman involved with him to keep being a support system. And she can start to feel less respect for him because she's looking at these TV and movies and everybody else looks like they're doing so well.
It becomes very hurtful. It affects both of them in different ways. And neither one knows how to handle it well because this is something we haven't faced before. There are no guidelines about it.
Well, there are many people who grew up in very poor families or people that live in countries. They don't all have a lot of money. And some of them are very happy together because this is what they knew and they grew up that way. But we haven't, many of us have not been brought up that way. And then when there's a struggle, we don't know what to do.
Right. We don't know how to cope when all of a sudden we don't have the credit cards to our disposal that we used to have and the ability to go out for dinner with ease 4 or 5 times a week and go on vacation as frequently as we're accustomed to. It's a very difficult, stressful bone of contention in the relationship. And so when you're then having to count every dollar, it's you look at each other differently and you begin to blame one another. And, well, if you'd have done this, we wouldn't have been in this position. Or if you'd have only said that, things would have been different. And then it begins to fly and neither one feels sensual.
But there is another side to it, and that is that you're going through life together and you really can become a team and work it through together and build something. And when you get past some of these difficulties, the bond can get stronger and stronger.
Well, that's the outcome that we hope for, and that's what I try to work on when couples come in to see me, is that I encourage them to roll up their sleeves and jump in 200% and with both feet, because when they can get past something like this, they can love more deeply than they ever have before. And they can make their love better than it has ever been before.
It's so true. And life brings problems. I mean, somebody gets ill and we have to care for them. It isn't just one simple romantic road with wonderful flowers and restaurants and vacations.
Well, that's true. Life is more complex than that, with one challenge after another.
So I have 3 terms that you have mentioned at times, and I would like you to explain each one of them. I know that they're related. One is the Cinderella syndrome, and another is, what is the difference between romantic love and mature love? So let's start with the Cinderella syndrome.
Okay. I reference that term a lot because I think most of us have grown up with seeing a lot of Disney movies. And the Cinderella syndrome, I know I saw Cinderella more than once when I was growing up, and I loved it. And so we anticipate a life filled with joy and acceptance and emotional and sexual intimacy, and we believe we found our soulmate when that wonderful Prince Charming pulls up on his white horse and takes us into the sunset, and we believe we're going to live happily ever after, and there's beautiful music in the background, and everything is going to be pretty. There's bluebirds in the sky, and the sun is shining, and all is well. And we think our lives are going to be like that. When we're children, we integrate that. We believe that. We absorb that into our personalities. We are truly, deeply influenced by those movies to believe that to be true. And so we do believe that the union that we will have will be very much like that. It's a very interesting phenomenon, the Cinderella syndrome. When we integrated that and incorporated that into our belief system, we swooned in our innocence. We saw that theme repeatedly. And then we grew up. Then we expected our partner to be perfect. We expected our marriage to be perfect. And many of us have selected the correct partner and the correct marriage. But some of it didn't turn out to be perfect after all. And that's where the demise of the marriage comes in. But the beauty of it is, it's only that the true, mature romantic love has not yet been attained. Because I believe the beauty of it is that we can make even more beautiful love stories in real life if we want to, if we make
it
happen.
I
believe romantic love doesn't just have to be an abstract ideal or just a fairy tale fantasy or some unrealistic dream. I believe we have the ability to reach it and to sustain it. I don't believe that it's necessary for so many love stories to have such unhappy endings.
Dr. Virginia, what you said was mature romantic love.
Right.
I love that combination because
right.
when they talked about mature love for my doctoral dissertation, I wasn't happy with that. That feels heavy and feels like the romance is just gone. And yes, you're responsible to someone, but mature romantic love, that's another story.
That's what I talk about all over South Florida in my speeches, is mature romantic love. I've combined the two because I believe that the courtship behaviors must continue for life. Whether you've been married 5 years or 15 years or 50 years, the courtship behaviors must continue throughout, even though the love changes seasons, even though we become emotionally mature in our love. And it does become mature, and that's an achievement. That's not a gift in our love relationships. The maturity.
So what do you mean by mature?
I'm going to get to that, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be happy to share. I believe that mature, because that's a confusing point, because sometimes infatuation mimics love, and sometimes dependency mimics love. And there could be a lot of confusion about that. But when you approach and consider a serious commitment, there has to be what I consider mature is a reciprocal confidence of loving and being loved. And then you need to be able to make your partner feel loved and appreciated throughout the entire marriage. Long-term couples must keep the marriage alive, because they're doing similar things as they did when they were first dating. When two people are dating, they expend a great deal of energy being attentive to one another and keeping the relationship vibrant. As the relationship matures, you still need to pay attention to one another and put energy into the relationship to keep it vibrant. That's what keeps it mature and alive. It's a maturity that is expressed in telling each other positive, loving things and what they like about each other. The early fire won't be kept alive without attention and effort.
So I have a question in here. Where do affairs come in? Why do people turn to an outside relationship? And do they have any role in marriage? Do they help in any way? Can they help?
Okay. Well, if you've ever loved, you know that love can hurt deeply. You're not always giggling and experiencing joy 100% of the time. I'd say that probably 60% of my caseload is about affairs. An affair doesn't have to be a death sentence, however. It can actually be an opportunity to create a new or even deeper trust. what you do when you learn of your partner's infidelity matters. Continuing to search for clues or evidence of betrayal isn't really very helpful, though. I found that to be more devastating. Searching for a qualified couples therapist is much more helpful than, and more constructive. But
there is a human need to find out the truth. So I find that when people feel that their partner has been betraying them, they can't help checking cell phones and checking internet sites. They're compelled to do that for a little while.
For a little while, but as soon as they learn of the affair, then that's enough information, because continuing to search for details is only more and more devastating and totally unnecessary. Healing a relationship when the trust has been breached or broken requires ongoing management of those strong negative reactions on the part of the betrayed partner, because they've been totally crushed, and it's imperative that the partner who engaged in the affair creates a sense of his faithfulness and loyalty all over again. He has to regain trust as though from the beginning to rebuild the foundation of trust, he or she, so that they can move forward, since there can't be any relationship without trust. Trust is the foundation from which a relationship is built. So they have to rebuild that from scratch so that they can move forward from that point. And by the way, you mentioned it, emotional affairs jeopardize the marriage just as much as sexual affairs. For example, the emotional online affairs relationships are very powerful as well, because they are also filled with secrecy and deceit and emotional intimacy and sexual chemistry.
It's true. Well, I wanted to add something, that a person can feel betrayed even without any of that. Just within the relationship, you share something openly about yourself and your partner puts it down. And that can feel like a little betrayal of trust. You just don't feel as safe. So it can happen even in small, subtle ways. This is where counseling can really, really help.
Well, true. An affair can be defined as any kind of sever in trust, as you say. And I truly admire the couples who are willing to work through it. Those couples are wonderful. They love one another enough to repair their marriage. When I work with couples, I ensure that they have a better marriage than what they had before. I don't want to just save the marriage or repair the marriage, because, you see, that wasn't good enough, because look at where it got them.
Right.
And so I make sure we do more than that. And forgiveness plays a very big part in that. They have to be motivated to forgive, and forgiveness is certainly a very loving act. So
what would you say are a few tips for helping a couple fall back in love again?
Okay, well, that's easy. I've got a boatload of those, but I'll give you a few right off the top of my head. I'd say time, being willing and able to make time for your partner is very crucial, because our lives get so busy that sometimes we forget how important it is to prioritize our partner as being our number one priority, still and always, above all else. Our professions and our careers oftentimes seem to become first place, and that will be an error on our part if we allow that to happen, because our partner always requires our most prominent attention. So always make time for your partner to be your first priority. Secondly, I'd say high mutual regard is one of the greatest features of a mature romantic love relationship. Treat each other with respect and thoughtfulness and consideration and sensitivity. And thirdly, I'd say touch. And I mean in the way of affection, not sexual in this context, but less vulnerable. Hold hands. Put your arm around each other. Run your fingers through his hair. Anything to touch one another more frequently. We live in a touch-starved society. People are more anxious to touch their laptop keyboards than they are to touch one another anymore. They run to their computers and their cell phones much faster than they run to each other anymore. And it's frightening that
really
in our society now, we're so disengaged from one another.
So I would like to just add something that, yes, our partner needs to be our number one priority, but maybe something even beyond that, that the relationship needs to be the number one priority. And because I'm thinking at the moment of someone, say you marry someone who's a tennis star or a basketball star or a high business executive, sometimes the business has to come first. But if you work at it as a team, that it's for your relationship, that can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Well, of course, as long as you're spending quality time together, even if it's in that context, even if you're doing
like you could
it
both be supporting whatever the
correct. Yes.
Team is, whatever the skill is.
Exactly, exactly. As long as you're both on the same team, as long as you're both in it together, as long as you're both relating somehow and spending
right.
time together about it.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Crist, how can our listeners get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
I do. I have a website, and I would love for everyone to take a look. It's AskDrV.tv. AskDrV.tv. Or you're welcome to call me at 561-212-6855. 561-212-6855. I'd be happy to talk with you further on any of these matters.
And Dr. Crist, it has been a delight to speak with you today, and you have a lot to offer individuals and couples that want to really create wonderful relationships and happy and satisfying marriages.
Thank you, Dr. Goodstone. It was a pleasure, and I feel very honored that you invited me to speak with you today. Thank you very much. I'm very appreciative.
You're welcome. So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website at healthybabyboomersnetwork.com or createhealingandlovenow.com/blog. And I look forward to other events with my listeners.